Thank you, Anna. Good. We are in Jeremiah chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. I want us to look at something tonight. I want to be, I can be a negative person, but I try not to be. I like to be positive, but I also like to be realistic. And I want us to as we look at this portion of Scripture, I want us to kind of maybe check ourselves tonight. I really do, over these past few months especially, appreciate our church family more than ever before. The last 4 months have been 3.5 months. It's hard to even tell what it is. It's like, is it June still? It's like, you know, I know I look at the calendar every day, but because there's not a lot going on in the... I always gauge everything in my life by, okay, summer kickoff starting, summer saturation's coming, all these, that's my life. And we haven't had these the last 4 months, and so I totally have no clue what's going on. But it's been about 3 months, probably working towards 3.5 months. And our church has been phenomenal and very patient as we started the live stream for the first time, and I think it's got better, especially after those first few weeks, okay? Those were not the best. But we got through it. You were faithful to tune in. And by the way, the numbers have been phenomenal. Just not that that's a big deal. And I don't look at it all the time. But as I saw the number of our folks watching, just not on Sunday morning, Sunday night and Thursday night as well. Inviting friends. The stories I've heard of you've invited this relative from out of state or this person or someone you met. Then Spanish, Brother Comp had told me one of their folks invited someone a couple months ago to watch the live stream. They watched the live stream and then they called and wanted someone to come by their house and talk to them, and they went by and talked to them and they got saved. And so we've had all kinds of those stories. You responded kindly with the text and praying for you, and here's what's going on. And remember that first month, sending in your pictures, okay? I'd get home from church after Sunday morning and I'd have like 60 pictures on my phone, and I'm like, okay, hey, wow, you drink coffee and eat Cheerios while you're watching the service. That's fun. We weren't doing that here. And then praying for us and so forth, the videos, many kind gifts you've given. And I will say, with our church, it's not been the case of every church. But our church has been phenomenal. You've knocked it out of the park, and your giving has been right on target. That's one thing we've not had to worry about, all these different cutbacks or so ever. You've been great, and you enthusiastically responded when we opened up the services. Look here tonight. And then the chairs. You know, we ordered 500 to start, and I thought that, you know, if we get 300 of them, that would be a blessing. I think we're probably closer to 560 now, and we're ordering more. So thank you for that, and I really do appreciate all that you've done. This is a great church, and I wouldn't trade it for any church in the world. In fact, of the matter, it's been like that from day one, and for that, I'm really grateful. But I do want to be honest here, but as I look at this time, and the necessity that we've had to do things different than anybody's really had to do church in our country before, and the fact that we're not completely back at 100%, I do have a fear, okay? Now, you say, wait a minute, the Bible says fear not, okay? Fear as concern. I do have some concerns that I have. And I think that maybe in a lot of sense, based on the response we've had, our concerns will come out to be unfounded in most cases, but I do have concerns. Yes, I do believe our church has done well, and I believe that the majority of our people are on target. Yep. But I do have a concern for our church family. For the last 3.5 months, we've been in a really weird transition. It's been really strange. Now, it is getting better on the freeway. I remember when, you know, usually traffic or whatever, even though I don't live far from here, it'd take 20 to 25 minutes to get to church. And I ask my Google in my room when I'm getting ready each morning, hey, Google. It's like, hello, your commute to work is 10 minutes. I'm like, wow, that cruise control. And I never had to stop it or anything. That's starting to change a little bit there. But we've just been through some things. It's been really strange. But what happens is that can become a slippery place, okay? By the way, before that, we're humming along, right? Everything's going well. The church was doing great. We've had great services, packed services. Bible Institute was filled to the max. We were good. That first Sunday, that we did live stream. We were supposed to start our Pacific 101 class. That was a three-week Sunday school class for those that were brand new visitors in the church over the past few months. And that was full, ready to go. I had all my notes. I had a little book we printed. It was all there, still sitting in my office, ready to be broken open. But we can't do that right now. Everything was going great. But I'm concerned that this time may have caused some people to slip back a little from where they were spiritually before this happened. Again, this is a slippery time. Although maybe we've been watching on live stream, we've not been to church together, which is a command of God. We've been a little bit of a lockdown. Now it's starting to open up a little. Over the past few weeks, I've been able to go out to eat with my family, my wife several times. We couldn't do that before. We've not been able to have our regular services. We can get very slippery and very kind of sloppy in our Christianity if we're not careful. See, this concerns me because any change in our relationship with God, any change in our Christianity is going to affect us in every single area of our life. It just will. It will affect you as a Christian. It'll affect our church because whatever affects you affects us. It'll affect your relationship. It'll affect everything in your life if it starts to go a little bit sideways. So I want to look here in Jeremiah, and I want us to look at the potential downfall that can happen if we start to change in our relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying you've been around here. I'm still really encouraged, but I just know the nature of things. And I want to make sure that we can check ourselves and check our relationship with God to make sure we're not had a little bit of a downward spiral. We find that pictured in the relationship of God with his chosen people. And that's what we're going to look at in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah in the years just prior to them going into Babylonian captivity. God used him to warn the people of coming judgment of the Babylonians and what to do. And by the way, his message wasn't even a good one. His message wasn't, if we get right with God, God will be on our side and we'll defeat any enemy. His message was, it's over, it's done. You need to be right with God and give yourself up, and then God will take care of you. That did not go over very well. In chapter 1 was his calling and God dealing with him to go speak to the nation. Now in chapter 2, really he's getting in the crux of it being a prophet and getting his message out to hear. And so he confronts them with their sins and he's going to plead with them to change, which they will not. Whether or not they were going to go into captivity, they needed to change. And if they would have listened to God, things, although they would have been bad, would have been way better for those who listen to God. Their relationship changed. The picture God uses, and I've mentioned this, is between him and his people, is that of a husband and wife. And one of the spouses being unfaithful. And we know how damaging and hurtful that can be. So in chapter 2 here, we see that downward progression that can take place when we start to distance ourselves from God, the same that his people did here. Now, I hope for us, we're going to look at it tonight as a warning to kind of check ourselves to make sure we don't go down this road. Or maybe if we see ourselves starting to go down this road, to make a course correction and make sure we don't get, that's my concern. My concern is that we've lost some spiritual momentum, we've lost some spiritual closeness to God, and that it can affect us in every single area of life. Now, I'm going to look at what they did, and then I'm going to show it how I'm concerned that what they did, that we can do. And as we look at these different ones, the steps progress downward. They get worse, okay? Here's the first concern I would have that they struggled with. I'm concerned about distance in our relationship with God. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, as he gets into the message now, talked about how God pulled them in and they had that close relationship. Now here it is. Verse 5. What iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me? Notice that, far. In other words, the distance is growing. And have walked after vanity and are become vain. Verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord? Verse 8, the priests, the spiritual leaders, said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. From his people, all the way down from the citizen to the spiritual leaders, they were growing from distance from God. They were starting to get away from God, and they didn't even realize it or even ask, where's the Lord? They had no clue it was happening, or they were ignoring that it was happening. That's a big deal. God was really, it kind of bothered God, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? They're not even, they're figuring out, they're starting to figure out that we're not that close, and they're not even asking, where is God? They should have been asking, where is God? Because Jeremiah is telling them, judgment's going to come. And they should have said, where's the Lord? That's what we need to ask ourselves. See, let's not lose him to the point where we don't realize we lose him until it comes to the place where we actually need him. Now, I know we need him all the time. I understand that. But you know what I'm saying? Something comes up and we assume we're, and it's like, wait a minute, where is God? What's going on? Because we're not close to him and we've not been walking with him. In April of 1988, an evening news reporter, he was doing a story on skydivers. And so he got his film camera from his news crew, a little miniature one, and he got with all of them, and they all jumped out of the plane, and they were gonna parachute together. And so he was gonna film them, and all the thing, you know, they all jump around and have a good time, and then when it gets too close, they pop open the parachute, and all that stuff. And so he was videoing them, and then when the last one popped their parachute, he's gonna open his. As soon as the last one popped up, they noticed that all of a sudden the camera, everything just started spinning. This reporter went to grab his zip cord, and he couldn't find it because he didn't have a parachute on. And he fell to his death. I mean, he thought it was there. And when it came time for it, it's like, it's missing. Hey, let's not get like that with God. Let's not let our relationship with him slip. And it comes a time when we need him in our life, and he is no longer there. That's what Gideon realized. When God came to him and said, I want you to be a judge, he goes, where are all your miracles? He goes, you've been missing in action here. And by the way, if God's missing in action, it's not that he's missing in action, we're missing in action. He should have turned the question around. Samson thought he could get away with what he'd always gotten away with, not realizing he had went too far because he really didn't have God's presence in his life. Let's quit just forging ahead without God. Isn't that what we do? We know we're not close to him, and we're just going to keep eking it out. We're going to keep going forward, but yet it's not going to work out. We're going to lose more and more energy. So I'm concerned about our distance, but I'm also concerned, secondly, about our stability in our direction with God. I'm concerned about the stability in our direction with God. Let's look at verse Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. All the verses I'm using, we did not read all of them. I wanted just to read a portion. Verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy, what's that word there? Backsliding shall reprove thee. See, they were backsliding. What happens when you backslide? Here we go. I'll define it. It's when you slide back. Say, wow, that's profound. I know. You just flip the words backwards. That's, you know why we backslide? We don't have any stability in our direction. We're not going forward with God. We've lost his presence, and so now we're not going to stay holding our relationship. We're not going to advance. Actually, we're going to be unstable, and we're actually going to slide back from God. That distance that we started in our relationship, now it just kind of spirals out of control. And you have trouble gaining ground. That's what losing his presence starts. Backsliding a result of losing the stability of that close relationship with God. Now, let's look at ourselves. Have you in your life noticed any slippage? By the way, when you're right with God and you're working on that relationship and that relationship is strong, you're not perfect, I understand that, but you're not going to be sliding back. Occasionally we trip up. Occasionally we do something that maybe, you know, we're not overtly wrong, but something that's wrong, and we get confess that and get it right. But I'm talking about we can tell because we start to just lose traction. We start to go backwards. Understand this too. What's that all about? When we lose stability and backslide, we're heading back to where we used to be. We're going to lose all that progress we made. How many people have I known over the years and their relationship with God, and they started to backslide, and when they got right with God, they were over here and they traveled way far down the road, and now they're backsliding. You know what they do? They're going to end up right back where they were before. But you know what? It's going to be worse because now they're God's child. And God's child's not going to be happy. Look, sometimes you just didn't know better back then. You got right with God. Now you got saved and you realize how awful your sin was. And you got out of there and now you're back there and you're going to be miserable. So I know somebody, they backslid and they're right back where they were and they're not miserable. Let me say this, they're not God's child. There is no way a Christian can go back to their sin where they were and not have that affect them, not be convicted about it. God disciplines his children. And if someone says, he's not disciplining me, what does that tell you? God's not a 2020 parent. We have a lot of parents that are afraid to discipline their... By the way, maybe if they discipline their children, they wouldn't be lawless individuals like we're seeing on the streets of our cities today. They've been pampered. But anyhow, that had nothing to do with this. But God's not like that. Because God loves us. So we slide back and we start to go back. We're giving back ground we conquered before. Ask yourself, are there any spiritual victories that you've gained in your life that you've actually now are suffering defeats in, and you're right back to where you used to be? Understand this. Why is that a big deal? Because it's not just about where you are currently in your life, although that's important. It's about what direction are you presently headed.
There you go.
See, let's just say right here, this chair represents the old life, okay? And so I got saved, and I've been making all of this progress. And, of course, our ultimate goal is Jesus, but guess what? We ain't ever going to get there. But we're trying to get as close as we can. And I'm right here, and now I start to slide. And here's this new Christian right here. I end up right here and I'm going backwards. Here's this Christian right here, and they're making progress, but they're only here. You know who I take? I'll take this one over that one any day of the week.
Yeah.
That one's going the right direction. They're going to get to where they're supposed to be. This one's going the wrong direction. They're going to end up passing each other.
Yeah.
It's very important. Direction's very important. And if you feel yourself sliding back, you need to go back to point one and say, I've lost the presence of God's relationship. Where are you, Lord? I need to get back. I need to get back in place. And you need to nip it in the bud right there. Don't let that direction continue to go. Remember this. The only army that wins is the army that's advancing.
Yeah.
That's it. Number three. I'm also concerned about you say, who in the church is doing this? I don't know. Maybe you do. Email me. No. I don't know. But I'm just saying I'm going to follow the advancement and say, hey, this is where we can end up. I'm concerned about our abandonment of our God. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. Verse 19. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. Once your relationship's done, once you start to backslide, you'll get to the place where you abandon God. The distance gets so great, you'll almost just give up the effort. Now, I don't like that word abandon. It sounds harsh, right? When I think of abandon, I think of, you know, a mother that has a child and puts it on, I guess you're allowed to do it now without getting in trouble, put the baby on the hospital doorstep and walk away. That's, to me, is abandoned. It's like the father that has children and leaves his wife and leaves his children and just goes out and starts a whole other life and doesn't want to have anything to do with them. That's abandoning. By the way, it happens the other way now too. Ladies do that. Somebody that's supposed to be somewhere where they should be doing what they, and they're not. They abandon their position. That's what we do. We abandon God. You could say we desert God. We ditch God. That's what happens when you lose your closeness to God. Parents do that sometimes in relationship with their children. Children do that to parents. Spouses to each other. People in their relationships to each other. People in their relationship to their church sometimes do it. But by far the worst thing is when we abandon our relationship with God. In other words, we're past the point of the relationship. That's been cold and killed. We're past the point of backsliding. We don't even care anymore. That's a really problematic place to be.
Yeah.
Abandoning God. Oh, by the way, we'll need him someday. Yeah. And by the way, this doesn't work, and if people do it, I'm okay with that. But young people, they'll abandon what they once had, and then they get married, and they get children, they get into life, and problems come, and all of a sudden, they want to hop back on board. And by the way, hop back on board. But can I just tell you something? It's a lot harder than you think. Back in the early days of the church, we'd have the singles. And they would go, and some of them, they'd come for a while, and then they'd leave, and then they'd get some unsaved boyfriend or girlfriend, and then they'd come to church and like, hey, win them to the Lord for me, Brother Myers. And we'd go out. I'd witness to them, but it's like, I'm trying to fix a problem that shouldn't be there. Let's be very careful. Let's not abandon God. Be very, very careful about that. By the way, God's the one who tried to author this relationship. God is the one that provided the means for us to have this relationship. Let's not abandon him. Number four, I'm concerned about our reverence for God. Our reverence for God. Verse 19. And that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord. You know, some people abandon God, but they still kind of have him in the background, you know, as like, I know he's there and all that. I'm just trying to ignore it. But when you get to the place where you lose the fear of God, you no longer have a reverence for God. By the way, the fear of God isn't that, you know, if I make one mistake, God's waiting with a hammer. And as soon as I make one mistake, wham, he's going to take me out. So that's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is that awe that we know that he is God and he's so far above us and I'm accountable to him for everything I do in my life, and we lose that. By the way, children should have a healthy fear of their parents, a reverence. Not that you walk in the house as dad in a bad mood today, but they fear to cross that line. Okay, here's the deal. I know if I cross that line, I'm going to answer to dad or I'm going to answer to mom for that. There ought to be that, right? We lose that with God. We lose that fear. We live our lives like there is no God. We disobey God with that I do not care attitude. And if we do hear somebody say something about God's word or something that goes against our life, instead of God checking us, we get upset about it. Let's be very careful that we don't lose that reverence for God. But when you forsake God, wouldn't that be the next natural step? Now I really don't care what he does in my life. When a person gets to that point, they go to the next concern. I'm concerned about our potential turning from God. Look at verse 27. Saying to the stalk, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back on me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will arise and save us. God's giving a little play there. They turn their back on God, but they're trying to, but when problem comes, they're going to turn their face and say, hell, help us. But they've totally turned on him. I used to have a friend when I was in Bible college. He would go up to people, you know, Bible college students are, they're not very bright. And he'd go up to people, hey, man, you got Jesus behind you, amen? And they'd go, amen. It's like, yeah, because you turned your back on him. Okay. But, you know, when you lose all that, you just turn your back on God. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to know what he has to say. Let's make sure that we don't get to that point because it's convenient for us. At that point, we don't want to hear from him. When you turn your back on somebody walking away, you just don't want to hear from them anymore. I had a guy one time, he was coming, when I was, this was at the old church, and he said, I got a problem I'm going through. And he started telling me his problem, and I'm listening to him, and I'm like, you know what? We can work through that. He goes, oh, no, I don't want your advice. I just want to tell you my problem. I said, okay, go ahead. He started telling me his problem. I turned and walked away. He goes, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, why would I want to sit here and listen? You don't want help, and I don't want to get depressed. I don't want to hear people complain. But we do that to God. God, I don't want to hear what you're saying anymore, so I'm going to turn my back on you. And then we think we can turn back and he'll be there for us immediately, anytime. And God's like, that's not going to work. God wants us to stay with him. Yeah. And then, verse number six, I'm concerned about our forgetfulness of God. Yeah. Verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Okay, look, when a girl gets, look, guy, let me tell you how guys feel about weddings. Here's, we would be okay with this. Can we just meet up? Pastor, you guys want to get married? I do. You do? Okay. I do. We do. Can we, are we done here? Pronounce us man and wife. Say, well, what about the, what about afterwards? It's like, look, we have wrap sandwiches. Grab a sandwich on the way out, okay? We're out of here. Guys would be okay with that. Now, ladies, you know, it's like my wife, what are we getting? We're getting married. Okay, what color is your tuxedo going to be? She's like, wear a white one. I'm like, what do I look like, a girl? Okay, I ain't wearing a white tuxedo. That will never happen. Yeah, but black doesn't really go. Okay, I'll wear a gray one, but I'm not doing white. Brother Ross, you wore a white one, right? You look like Liberace. But look, we don't care. We're not there for the food. We're not there for the ceremony. It's kind of irritating. We're there for the girl. Lady, your lucky day. All right, wait a minute. No, flip that. But ladies, the dress. Okay. Well, would a bride forget her attire? That's like a lady going, all right, I'm ready to get married. I'm here, 11 o'clock. Oh, man, I forgot a dress. I don't have a dress. No, the husband say, that's okay. Let's just get out of here. No. But look what they say. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Well, if you turn your back on God, now you're forgetting everything about God. Now, look, you're so messed up. A person like that is messed up. I'm going to assume none of you are like this. But you're so messed up, you can't even remember how God saved you. You don't even think about that day. You don't remember how sweet it was when you used to open the Bible and read the Bible. You don't remember when you used to be excited about going to church and you couldn't wait to be here. I think you are now because what's going on. But you couldn't wait to serve. Man, if you're on a bus route, got to get on that bus route. Hey, Tuesday, soul winning time. Prayer time. Listen, as a new Christian, I couldn't wait to be at church. I made reasons to be at church. I didn't even work there, but I wasn't working. I just show up. What do you need done? During the summer, they had a school program. I'm like, okay, I'll come help. And I didn't even like kids at that time. Still don't. But I just couldn't. I was excited about it. And I remember how God changed my heart. Don't ever forget what God's done in your life. Maybe there was something going on, and you needed God's help, and you prayed, and God did something wonderful for you. And now you're to the point, you're so far from God, you don't think about what he did because you're not thinking about him. You make decisions on a daily basis without one thought as to what does God really want. It's all about you. We forget about him. And then lastly, and this just makes sense, I'm concerned about our replacements of God. Several verses, Jeremiah 3:6, the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen when, which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree and hath there played the harlot. What are they talking about? Idolatry. Verse 13 also, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They forsook God and they picked up something else to worship, and it's like a bowl that doesn't hold water. Looks good, but it's worthless. It's not profitable. We get to the very end, and you know what we do? Now we have a replacement for God. Now, I know of no Christians I know that have left God and took an idol. In other words, like, you know, I'm Buddhist. Or I got this little thing, statue I'm worshiping. But I know a lot of Christians that have idols. You see, anything that replaces God in your life is an idol. When you took God out of your life, you're going to have, if you take God out of your life, let's be positive tonight, right? If God's out of your life, now you have a void. That void's going to be filled with something. Oh, we may not say we're worshiping it because we don't fall down to it, but that is our life. It is the most important thing to us, and that is idolatry. And those things will keep us from God. We've replaced him. The rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus, what must I do that I can have eternal life? Well, first of all, there's nothing you can do, but Jesus threw some things out there, and he said he kept those, and okay, whatever. But then Jesus put his finger on that guy's God. He said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, do we have to do that to get saved? That was his God. That was the thing that he worshiped in life. And Jesus put his finger on it, and he said he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. So I'm not going to. What have we replaced God with in our life? What do you place your worth in? What is valuable to you? What is your God? Where do you spend your time? Where do you put your energy? Where do you put your money? You see, all of us have something. For some people, it's their football team. That should be really easy this year. Don't watch football. If they're going to be a bunch of God-hating, country-hating idiots, they're not going to be on at my house. You want to hate our country? I'm not in. That didn't go over very well. Okay. The Lakers. I like the Lakers. I mean, I started liking the Lakers when I was like 9 years old. The first basketball game I went to, I was a little kid. My dad took me. We sat in the top row. Couldn't see anything. They played a team called, I think it was the Cincinnati Royals. They don't even exist anymore. Does Cincinnati exist? Yeah, it was. But you know what? I'm done with the Lakers. They're going to hate everything that's right. Now, if you want to, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not in on that. But I know how it is football season usually. People that were coming to church stop coming. Why? Because their team's playing. You know, I always say, I hope their team lose. I hope they all lose. That's kind of not. Why don't they just all call them the Raiders and they all would lose? But it's a single guy. We had a single guy and he started coming to our class back in the early days when I had that singles class and he was starting to do okay. And he came to me and says, hey, Brother Myers, I just want to let you know you're not going to see me for several months. I'm like, why? He goes, it's soccer season. I'll be playing soccer every Sunday. I'm like, that's dumb. That was his God. What's your God? You're going to replace God with something. Now, these are my concerns. Now you say, Pastor Myers, what in the world do you think happened to us during this time? I don't think most of that happened. I really don't. But you know what my concern is? My concern is the first two. Because once we start letting the first two in, the rest of it will eventually follow. Now let me ask you, how's your relationship with God? Has there been some distance in that relationship? Because if distance comes in that relationship, then you're going to start noticing number two, which is now you're going to start sliding back a little. You're going to start losing ground. You're going to quit advancing in your faith. Our new discipleship book we wrote, it's going to be printed soon. It's called Follow After. I want people to follow after the Lord. That means you go. You make progress. And if those two things are wrong, all those other things are going to line up. And I don't think our church is there. But my concern is that during this time, some of us have lost some spiritual momentum. Some of us have lost some spiritual ground. And if we're not careful, these other things can happen. And that's not what I want. I want us to come back ready to go. By the way, I'm ready to go. I know that there's not a, you know, you can't see the progress in the building every single day, but I go in there like two or three times every single day just to make sure Ryan's getting that baseboard up. I went in yesterday like, hey, Tim, where's my son-in-law? Like, oh, he's coming. They're working on it. I'm like, brother, family dinners are not going to be good. Okay, get the, he's working. And I saw him, they put up today the little, for the doors. Did they put the doors in yet, or that's real soon? Yeah, I'm like, that's coming. I walk in the little back rooms, like, smell of new carpet. Look, they got the other lights up. Doesn't take much to make me happy. But you know why? Because I'm looking to the future. We've redone our whole discipleship program and soul winning, all that stuff. I was going to say, I almost said nonsense. All that stuff. We're upgrading the bus ministry. We're looking to make the Sunday school better. By the way, around the building, have you seen that things are starting to go in the right direction? Dan's out here with a bunch of the boys out here. And we've got all these different things we're doing. Don't cost a lot. We sold the Bobcat or something to get that money. And we're painting it. We'll finish painting it. I want us to be ready from the building to the structure to us so we can do something for God. We'll take advantage of this opportunity because a lot more people are irritated than what's going on in our country. A lot more people are confused about it, looking for answers, than the media is going to let you know. And I want to be there to say, hey, Christ has the answers. But if we're slipping, and by the way, just as a pastor, I love the people of the church. I don't want to see things go sideways in your life. I don't want things to go sideways in my life. And so let's make sure that we make sure our relationship with God is straight. You say, man, I've been drifting a little bit. Jump right on that. Yeah. You say, well, I've not had that and everything's okay. No, it's not okay. You just think it's okay. Yeah. Let's jump on that. Let's pray together. Father, I do love you. I love your people and our church. I'm so grateful for what really in my heart over these past few months you've done as we've looked at some things and we're getting ready and all the different things I'm very excited about. And I'm thankful for the way our church members have responded. It's been phenomenal, Lord. But I'm just concerned if we're not careful, our relationship with you will start to go sideways. And I pray that doesn't happen. Lord, I pray that all of us that heard the message tonight, whether in here or online, I pray that all of us would take stock of our relationship with you, our personal time with you, your importance in our life, our desire to follow your will for our life. And I pray, Father, that we would get that right so we don't start losing ground and going backwards. And then all these other negative things happen. Be with us now. Bless us till we meet for our services on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.